There's a lot you could say about these words from Jeremiah. You could talk about Jeremiah's call to be a prophet to all the nations, how right there in clear black and white, it appears God has something to say to politicians and about public policy. But other words from the prophets and from Jesus deal with those. And today we're not going to be quite so ambitious. Today we're just going to deal with the rather amazing way in which Jeremiah felt God calling him. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said this, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you aside, called you to be a prophet." Talk about destiny. I mean, from the beginning, Jeremiah understands God has had a purpose for him. And from before the beginning, God has a mission for Jeremiah. Before Jeremiah is even a twinkle in his mother's eye, God has an intention and a hope and a dream for Jeremiah. I've never heard a word like that from God. I don't know about you, but I imagine few of us have really heard a word quite like that. We haven't heard God's voice coming to us from the start. We may not feel God's hand on our shoulder, sort of guiding us. We may not sense God's encouraging or warning or urging. But just because you haven't heard that voice or felt that hand or sensed that leading doesn't mean it isn't so. Just because you may not have had what others would call a religious experience does not mean that God hasn't set you apart for a purpose. Just because you may not sense God's hand upon your shoulder does not mean that you don't have a destiny to fulfill. Maybe we don't always recognize God's voice because we're not listening for it. We don't expect to hear it. I'm not talking about an audible experience of God. That hasn't been mine. I'm talking about a sensing, an intuition, an awareness, a recognition of God's presence, God's encouraging, God's leading, God's claim on your life. Maybe we would sense God's purpose for us a little more if we actually thought there might be one. And even when Jeremiah hears God's voice, he's reluctant. He's reluctant to accept that calling. "I'm just a boy, I'm just a kid, I'm not up to that." But of course, God will have nothing to do with that. Whom God calls, God empowers. And so, "Don't be afraid," God says, "I am with you." And Jeremiah accepts that call. He still fusses with it. Read the rest of the book, the other 50 chapters. He still fusses about it, but more often than not, he accepts the call. One of my favorite films is A Few Good Men, a military courtroom drama about truth, justice, and the American way in the very best sense. It's a movie that's got a political point of view, of course. Actually, it's got a couple. But beyond that, and for today's purposes, it's a story about a man who is coming to grips with the fact that maybe he has a purpose in life that he didn't realize. Maybe he has a destiny. Maybe he has a calling. Tom Cruise plays this young Navy lawyer, and he's so good in this movie that you can really almost forget that couch jumping thing on the Oprah Winfrey show. So, but he's a Navy lawyer who has settled all 44 cases he has tried. He's settled them out of court because he just likes to get these things over with so he can do what he really likes to do, which is play softball and drink beer with his buddies. Now, he's assigned to defend two young Marines who are charged with murder of a private, and he's about to plea bargain this one too, with barely a thought to their defense. But there's another Navy attorney, Demi Moore, as it happens, who's pretty smart and who won't let him get away with it. She senses that there's more to this case than meets the eye, but Cruz keeps blowing her off again and again, over and over. And finally, he decides he's going to ask off the case, which effectively dooms these two young Marines. Now, his partner, she's seen his gift for lawyering. She knows that he's good, but she despairs of his attitude. And so finally, she turns on him. "You know they have a case," she says. "You know how to win. You walk away from this now and you seal their fate." The smart-alecky lawyer replies, "Their fate was sealed the moment the private died." But she cuts him to the bone. She says, you're a used car salesman, that's all. You're an ambulance chaser with a rank. You're nothing." And then she pauses before she walks out of the room. And she says, "Live with that." And then she leaves him to his thoughts. And you can tell that her words have struck home, that he knows there's truth in what she has said. You can almost see him asking himself, "Do I really want to live with that?" And by the next morning, he's ready to try the case. He's been playing a game with his life, but he suddenly realizes that this game is played for keeps. He's been going through the motions, but now he's discovered that what he does actually matters, and not just to his own life, but to someone else's life too. He's been phoning it in, but now he sees that he's got one life, and he'd better show up in person to live it. Sometimes we do that. We treat life as a game, or we go through the motions, or we phone it in. We think that destiny is only for the beautiful people or the powerful. We think that a greater purpose really just belongs to someone else. We get caught up in a routine, maybe. We think no one cares, that nothing matters. It doesn't really make any difference. And we don't see our part in a larger picture, a larger purpose. Or maybe some of us don't see ourselves at all and wonder, "Why would God have anything for me to do?" But in that moment, when that young lawyer saw himself, really saw himself, he thought about what it would mean to live with that. And he made a change. Today, we're sending Katie Ballinger to China to teach English and American culture to young students who hopefully will one day be our partners in building a better world. We're sending Kelly Gregory to Kenya, where she'll use her pharmaceutical skills to help people with AIDS for whom there is nowhere else to turn. We're sending Nicole Farley down the road to Winnetka to do there what she's been doing here, to help young people grow up wisely and faithfully and well. And those all seem like grand callings, and they are. But just maybe you have a grand calling too. Just maybe Jeremiah was speaking to you too when he said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart for a purpose." Just maybe God is talking to you too. You're not an accident. Your life is not a mistake. It's not a random chance occurrence. Before you were born, God set you apart for a purpose and a destiny. Live with that. For Jeremiah, that destiny seemed pretty clear because God told him. And for some of us, it may be clear as well. You may know that you were meant to be a teacher from the time you were very young. You may know you were meant to be a father from the time when you were very young. But for others of us, it may not be so obvious. And I even think that for many, if not most of us, God works with us to choose a destiny that's in harmony and in keeping with God's loving work in the world. So what might it mean to say that before you were born, God knew you and had a purpose for you? Someone told me many, many years ago, remember, Greg, before God called you to be a minister, God called you to be a husband and a father. Now, that caught my attention because we didn't have kids at that point. But still, I've never forgotten what he said. Because that means that God calls us to our relationships. The people we're closest to are not just our choices, but they're also our calling. And we're called to be faithful and kind and strong and respectful and gentle and tough. We're called to love the people who are closest to us. It's a calling from God. And if you think of yourself as called to your family, called to be a wife or a husband, a son or a daughter, a father, a mother, a grandfather, grandmother, sister, brother, you just might look at those people a little differently. And that face looking back at you from the mirror might look a little different too. Live with that. And God gives us work to do. Sometimes it's the work we pay for, or that we are paid for. Sometimes that's part of God's calling. If you're making medicine or testing it or selling it or distributing it for Abbott or Baxter or anyone else, then you could see yourself as part of God's healing work in the world. It may be mundane, it may be routine, whatever it is, but you are part of making good things happen. I grant you some jobs may seem like more of a calling than others, but you can bring yourself to almost any job. Bring yourself to your job and make it better. I remember Dave, the clerk at the convenience store from whom I bought milk for several years, a big, bushy, bearded gentleman who took it, I think, as his calling to gladly, grinningly greet every person that ever walked in his store. You couldn't help but feel better when you left just because Dave had greeted you and with his big smile welcomed you to buy your 2% for the day. Maybe he figured people had had a rough day. It's a pretty fair assumption, and he'd do what he could to lighten it, but it almost was a calling to him. Now, there are surely some jobs, some places, some positions that just suck the life out of you. Probably some jobs and places that cannot be redeemed, but there are some that can be if we look at them a little differently, if we dare to think about how we might be God's person in that job, in that place, with those particular people. Sometimes, too, our work is not what we're paid for. Our work might be parent or student or neighbor or friend or coach or volunteer. What we do with our time, how we spend our energy, how we use our resources, all those have to do with our calling and being God's person in the world. How are we God's person in the world? Well, for some of us, like Jeremiah, it might mean doing something new, changing course, taking a new step from volunteering to work in the PADS shelter here at the church to changing your vocation or to deciding that you're going to make a project out of the new kid that just moved in who's sitting in the back row of your class or the person at work who needs someone to mentor. And you do that, why? Just because it's a God thing, just to become more fully God's person in the world. But there might be other times where realizing that God has called you means that you don't change a thing. Not a thing. But you just look at what you're doing and where you are right now in your life and who you're connected to, and you look at them with new eyes, and you see that as your calling. And seeing it as your calling changes the way you look at it, the way you experience it. In that scene in A Few Good Men, the Navy lawyer was challenged to really look at his life. Live with that, his partner challenged him. And when he really looked at it, he could not. Well, if you've been playing a game with your life, it's time to realize this game is one that's played for keeps. If you've been going through the motions, It's time to recognize that what you do really matters. It makes a difference in your life, but not just your life, the lives of those around you too. And if you've been phoning it in, then it's time to understand that you've got one life, and you better show up in person. The living God said to Jeremiah and says now to you, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and I set you apart for a purpose, a calling, a destiny. You are God's son, God's daughter. You have something to do for God, something to live. You have a calling, a destiny, a purpose. Live with that." Pray with me. Gracious God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear the new opportunities that you set before us, the new ways in which we may either see that we're already your person in the world, or in which we may become more fully who it is you're calling us to be. We pray in Christ's name, for Christ's sake, the world's sake, and for our own sakes, we ask it. Amen.